My name's Brad. I'm a pastor from Houston, Texas. I've been friends with these guys for a long time, and it's really beautiful to be here with you, you know, to think about like the context of who we are as the people of God. I don't know you very well, but somehow by God's grace, like one day we're going to recall this in the day to come, and Jesus returns and gathers us up. We're going to be like, ah, you remember we were at City Church Albuquerque together during that crazy 2024 year? What a year it was, you know, whatever. Like we're here, like we're connected. The peace of Christ is with us. We're God's people. And so I come before you as someone who very much loves Jesus, who knows I'm loved by him, and knowing that he loves you. And we come to this text with Colossians 4, and when Daniel asked me, he's like, hey, will you preach this installation service? I was like, yeah, I want to talk about Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, because I think when we first read it, we miss something really, really important. I think we first hear it, and we think to ourselves, okay, be devoted to prayer. All right. I'm going to be part of a 5,000-hour prayer marathon, you know, or I'm going to come up with a new prayer strategy or something else. And before I answer that question of like, what does Paul really mean when he says, devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful, and pray for us too. Like, how do we do this? What is this? I want to tell you a little story about a guy named Daniel. Your Daniel, my Daniel. Daniel and I, one of the things we love to do is go on journeys together. We love to explore together. We've jeeped in Colorado, we've mountain biked together, we've hiked in places, we've camped, we've done all sorts of great things together. But probably one of my favorite things that we've done together is to go to Moab. And if you ever go to Moab and you want to go on a cool journey, just north of town is the Colorado River, and you can put in on paddle boards there and you can float down the river. And what Daniel said to me was, he goes, hey Brad, I want to take you to the portal. And I was like, ooh, portal to what? Like, what does that mean? Like the portal. I think I want to go there, but to what? He's like, no, it's great. Let's do the portal. I said, okay, let's do the portal. So we put in there in Moab. We aired up our paddle boards. We start floating down the river. And if you can just kind of go there with me for a minute, the water's cool. There's whirlpools. There's other people around, sort of, but eventually you're by yourself and you're floating down the river. And as you're floating down the river, these walls begin to rise, these red walls. 2,000 foot tall, some of these walls. People rock climb on them. They're just amazing. And as you make your way down the river and you're a couple miles in, the walls begin to get higher. The river actually gets more broad and the shores begin to disappear. And so eventually you come to a place where when you talk, it sounds like you're in God's auditorium. It's like you're in the middle of a planetarium or something. It echoes and it feels weird and ethereal. It's the portal. And I remember like wondering, like I can see Daniel far off. I was like, hello. And Daniel's like, hello, you know. You shouldn't be able to hear each other, but you can hear each other. And it's this really beautiful, powerful experience that I'll never forget. And it's all the more powerful and all the more meaningful because I was with my friend Daniel, but also because I had to trust him. Because if you know anything about me and you go on a journey with me, I don't usually have just like one GPS device. I've got several because I want to know exactly where we're going and how we're going to get out and if we're going to be okay and it's going to be safe. Like, you know, that's who I am. And so I put a waypoint on where we're supposed to get out of the river, and we went right by it. And I go, Daniel, that's the exit. The sun is going down. This has been amazing. Also, there's nothing else later for like 100 miles. So like, are you sure you know what you're talking about? He goes, Brad, chill out. Like, we've been friends a long time. So he's like, chill, Brad. I was like, well, the GPS says we're lost now. Like, okay, we'll just float down the river. We get down the river. It's dark. There is no more sun. And Daniel's like, it's right there. I was like, oh, I'm so glad you know what you're talking about, you know? We're meant to actually live in the context of community, and sometimes it's scary, and sometimes it's fun, but it's always meant to be a journey. And as I've sat here and listened to people talk about the different journeys we're on, everybody in this room comes here. We come to this one point. We're in this one space, but we come from different places. I come from Texas. You might hate Texas, but I'm from Texas, right? You know, we got friends here from Brooklyn. We got people from all over the place. That's one thing. Spiritually, I am certain when a group this size, there are people sitting here who are like, I hope this dude is almost done. Like, I'm done with this. Some of us come here really discouraged and afraid. Here's the good news. For whatever reason, in God's sovereignty and his promise, he invites us to consider this concept of being devoted to prayer. Do you know why that's beautiful? Because this is Colossians chapter 4. And chapters 1, 2, and 3 have all been about the deep and intense and enduring and powerful devotion of God to us. You see, that's how it works. Listen to some of these verses. Paul opens the letter. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Imagine if Albuquerque, when they learned about this church, that's what they thought we were all about. This is a place that's seeking to bring grace and peace and mercy. Or Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. What if we were a people at this church where we could hold out hope for everybody? Because the King of heaven and earth has been devoted to us and expressed his grace to us, and that there's literally no one who's sitting here where Christ doesn't hold out hope to and says to us, I'm with you on this journey. I've got sufficient grace for you. You don't need more spiritual platitudes. You need the very power of God to sustain you in this moment. I'm inviting you into a relationship where I'm devoted to you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. What if the first step to beginning to live a life of spiritual awareness equals listening and in wrestling with the fact that Jesus is absolutely devoted to you? That's the starting point. Like, if you want to kind of turn off at this point and not listen to much more, hear this. God has done everything in his power to make you fully aware that he's devoted to you. He's given you rivers and walls and people and air and a building to worship him in and to sit together and to hear his word for us. Christ has expressed full, powerful devotion for us. Even if your GPS device is saying there's no way out, Jesus holds us up for you. His grace and his mercy. And the place where we experience that is in the context of the church. The people of God who are seeking to experience his grace so that we can express it. But it always goes that way first. Now, devote yourselves to prayer. When you hear devote yourselves to prayer is the first thing you hear first. God is so devoted to me. God is gracious to me. He's inviting me into relationship. See, that's an important element when we think about what it means to know who God is that he's inviting us not into just more spiritual practices or fixing things or getting ourselves together or whatever it might be. He's inviting us into contemplating the reality of his presence and his goodness. And it's in the context of that that we live into having relationship with him. Paul goes on, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God would open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Now, Paul here is saying, if we want to know what it means to get on board with who he is and what he's doing, it's thinking about what it means to be in a relationship, devoting ourselves to prayer, and the expression of that, being watchful and thankful. It means that we kind of have a holy anticipation that he's actually going to show up and actually do things for us. And how are we going to believe that? Because we know who he is. Have you rested and found your hope in the power of God's love for you? Who is he to you? Colossians, Paul tells us in chapter 1, verse 15, who this Jesus is. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. God, can you hold me together? Yes. By grace, I offer this to you. I'm devoted to you. Watch for me to work. See me work. Have a heart of gratitude. What about in our parenting or in our marriages or in our city or in our country? It's been a wild couple weeks, has it not? This is the one who approaches us and says, I'm devoted to you. Therefore, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to communion. Devote yourselves to relationship by watching to see if I'm working and being thankful when you see that I am. Paul then kind of goes into what I'll call sort of the labs where we get to work out what it means to express devotion, express relationship. He says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer everyone. Isn't that amazing? Like, we're actually being invited to be a people who are so saturated in the grace of who Jesus is that it shapes the way we treat even people who are on the outside. Like, we're the family of God, but he's actually calling us to reflect on his relationship with us through the power he's offered to us in the gospel so that we can be wise in the way we act toward outsiders. What does that look like? Well, it looks like how Jesus would treat outsiders. How does Jesus treat outsiders? Interest, love, faithfulness. One of my favorite verses, I'm sure you've heard it before, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, right? What's verse 17 say? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Like, that's our message. Jesus has come, given himself for us, devoted himself to us, so that no one would be condemned, so that we could experience salvation through the promises of his grace. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Well, Christ-like. We'll be Christ-like. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This brings me great encouragement as a pastor to know that actually us pastors don't have to have everything figured out. Jesus has everything figured out. So what are we to do? To live into the fact that Christ is devoted to us. To express that by praying into the relationship of his faithfulness to us. By being watchful to see what he's doing. Being thankful when we see it happen. And that he offers us great grace and promise. A passage of scripture, as I kind of draw to a close here, being sensitive to our multi-sermon service today. One of my favorite passages of scripture alongside this is I think about God's devotion to us. And it's really like the gospel paradigm is what I'll call it. It's from Titus chapter 2, where Paul says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all of us, all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness. It teaches us to say yes to an upright and godly life while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So what is the key to seeing City Church Albuquerque thrive? For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. It is what teaches us to say no. It is what teaches us to say yes, right? God's inviting us into experiencing and receiving his grace. I think that would be my question for you as you embark on this new journey together. Do you know who it is you worship? Jesus. Do you know what it is he wants from you? He wants you to experience being the target of his devotion, his grace, his mercy. There's once a story about a guy, I'm going to close with this. There's once a story about a guy who was on a bus. He's kind of a big guy, but a little bit unassuming. And three younger guys come up to him and they begin to harass him. This actually took place in Brooklyn, from our Brooklyn Boys. These three guys get on a bus, they start harassing this man, and he's not really responding. It's like their offenses and their critiques, they're not provoking a response. It's like this dude isn't affected by it. And they keep harassing him, and they keep bothering him, and eventually this guy looks at him. He doesn't say anything. He just pulls out a business card, and he hands him this business card. And it said, "Joe Lewis, heavyweight champion of the world." And they took the card, and these young men looked at this card, and they began to back away slowly, and they stopped. You see what happened? They didn't realize who they were dealing with. The moment they realized who they were dealing with, it changed them. They begin to say, "Wait a minute, who is this?" The Jesus that we worship, the one who calls us to be devoted to him in prayer, which is really a devotion to communion, a devotion to relationship, says this: "I made all things, I know all things, I hold all things together. I'm not inviting you to figure it all out. I'm inviting you to know my devotion and to live into it, to watch for my work, to be thankful when you see that work, to apply that gospel into these different spaces of your life, to ask for wisdom, and the result will be resurrection." You know, our Lord makes this promise to us, not that he'll answer every single question we can come up with. That's not what the Bible does. What he offers us is that he will answer every single question our hearts need to have addressed. And today his grace is sufficient for us. And so my prayer for you as you make your way into this new part of your journey, you know, with Daniel and Stephanie and this family, who knows what the next 5 years holds for you? Here's what it absolutely holds: an invitation to know Jesus is devoted to you, to devote yourself to prayer, to be watchful to see him work, to be thankful when you see that he does. God is at work, okay? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your great promises to us. To read about the life of the church in Colossae, for Paul to call out to them and say, rest in the reality that Christ is devoted to you. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to this relationship. Watch for me to work. Be thankful that when you see that I am. Lord, would you enable us to be people like that, who are so convinced of your faithfulness and your nearness that we would be people who watch to see you work, anticipate it with our hearts, and that you really lift our souls with gratitude as we recognize it, Father. Bless this church as they seek your face. In your name we pray. Amen.